The Lord is good.
All the time.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
The Lord is good.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, good morning.
Good morning.
On behalf of our church family here in Newport-on-Tay, I would love to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning or doing so after a long while. Welcome also to our brothers and sisters who are following our church service on Zoom and those who listen to the worship service from our church's website afterwards. After the service, we are all invited to our church hall for teas and coffees. On other notices, I would like to bring to the congregation the notice one of our church members, Mr. John King, died in the course of the week. I'm sure some of the older folk would know John. And I also lost my first cousin at the beginning of the week in Cameroon. Can I ask the congregation, please, to kindly stand, if you can, for a moment of silence. Dear God, you are the creator of heaven and earth, the Alpha and the Omega. You hold our lives in your hands. We thank you that we can leave them. But we also thank you that you call us out of the darkness of the world into your marvelous light. Some young, others middle age. Some old. But Father, we pray that for those who have now left us, you would accept them by your side and keep them safe until that day when we meet with them to part no more. May the souls of all those who have departed now rest in perfect peace. Amen. Please be seated. Let us take another moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. And now, let us worship God. Our first hymn, O Worship the King, All Glorious Above, 127.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the rest of the night now past and for the gift of a new day. As light has broken over Newport on Tay, we praise you for your mercy that is new every morning. You are the God who comes to us where we are, just as you came to Gideon in his fear and uncertainty, calling him by your promise rather than his weakness. We approach you with humble hearts, trusting not in our own strength, but in your presence. Lord, fill this church with the power of your Holy Spirit. Breathe new life into our worship, our witness, and our fellowship. Heal what is broken among us, restore what is weary, and transform our lives so that we may live as people sent by you. Let your peace rest upon us, and let your Spirit make us bold in faith and generous in love. We come before you knowing that you are with us and that is enough. Faithful God, you called Gideon a mighty warrior, yet he saw only his fear. We confess that we often see only our limitations and forget your promises. We confess that we doubt your presence when times are hard, and we question your work when answers do not come as we expect. Forgive us for the times we have hidden instead of trusting you, for shrinking back instead of stepping forward in faith. Forgive us when we rely on our own understanding rather than listening for your voice. Cleanse us from fear, pride, and self-reliance. Assure us again of your peace, just as you reassured Gideon, saying, "Do not fear." Renew us by your Spirit, so that forgiven and restored, we may rise to serve you with confidence, courage, and obedience. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Our next theme is "Once in Royal David City," 315, still in the mood of Christmas.
Thank you.
Good morning, children. Good morning, good children. There are very few children in church. Where are the rest? Where are your friends? Good morning. How are you this morning? You doing good? Good. I'm doing good too, but I'm a bit tired this morning. So what have you been doing for the rest of the week? Anyone wants to share? What have you been doing? What have you enjoyed this week? Yes. You've been going to dams. Oh, wow. All right. Did you enjoy that? Where about? Or just like it, next to the church, okay. Good. Anyone else, what have you been doing this week? School. At least you've been going to school. So let's begin with a few questions this morning. Now, if you were playing with your favorite toy, and your mom or your dad just came up and said, please stop and follow me, what will you do? Will you follow? Will you? No one is answering. I just see heads nodding. I'm not sure you really want to say yes, you will follow. Or what if you were playing your favorite video game and mom or dad just came and said, stop, follow me. Do you think you will follow those instructions? Let's be honest. Would you? Grace is saying yes. She's just nodding her head and not saying anything. So probably you would follow. Now, I want to talk about how Jesus called his first disciples. There's a story in the Bible. Jesus went to the lake or beside the lake and saw some people. They were fishing. And he said to them, follow me. Very simple. He just said, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men or fishers of people. Do you know that story? In the Bible. You don't know the story of Jesus calling Andrew, Peter, James. You don't know the story. The first disciples. Okay, you don't know the story. That's why I'm telling you the story. So Jesus told them to follow him. He was going to make them fishers of men. What do you understand by that? Fishers of men. What do fishermen usually fish? Yes? The fish. But Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Meaning that he will teach them how to invite people into the kingdom of God. And these people did not argue. They followed him. Now, the interesting thing is that normally he would have gone to the temple or to a place where there were religious people and asked if there were people who wanted to do God's work. No, he went to the lake. He went to a place where there were ordinary people and he said, follow me. And they followed him. Part of the reason why we have the church today, it is because of the work that these disciples did. They went talking to other people about the church, about Jesus Christ, about God, about how important it is for us to be God's children. And that's why we have the church all over the world today. One of the lessons that I learned from this is that you don't have to be a big person. You don't have to be too intelligent. You don't need to come from a particular family. God can call anybody at any time. Now, God also called me to be a minister. And I've been asking my children who is going to be a minister. All of them are saying they don't want to be ministers. What we learn is that God called these ordinary people to be his disciples, and God can call any of us. So it's important for us when we come to church to be open. And God's call is not just for us to be ministers. Every other person doing any other thing has been called by God. So you may not be called to be a minister. You'll probably be called to be a medical doctor, a nurse, a carer, a professor in the university, a trader, business person, you can be called to be anything. But the important thing is for you to accept that call, to love it, to do it, and to bring your own influence in the world. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this morning and for our children and for the children's talk. And we pray, O God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you continue to shape these young minds even as they grow up, that they will be able to fit themselves into the promise which you've made for them and for their own different callings in life. We ask through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our next song or hymn is Halle, Halle, Hallelujah.
Our first reading this morning is from Judges, chapter 6, verses 11 to 24. You can find that reading on page 248 in the Pew Bibles or on the screen above me. Judges, chapter 6, beginning at verse 11. Listen for the word of the Lord. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abi Ezrite, for his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour, he made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot. He brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is peace." And to this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abi Ezrites. Our second reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. That's on page 1002 of the Pew Bible. Mark 1, beginning at verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. And we sing our next hymn, which I cannot remember.
Brother, sister.
Brother, sister. Well, let me serve you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, I want to reflect with you this morning on the theme, the call into the unknown. The call into the unknown. Now imagine this. Four fishermen are mending their nets by the Sea of Galilee when a carpenter turned preacher walks by and says, "Follow me." No campaign slogans, no political platforms, no signs, no debates, no promises of economic reform or better fishing quarters. Yet without hesitation, they drop their nets and follow him. In today's political world, where people weigh every word, pull numbers, and public approval, this is hilariously countercultural. Can you imagine Simon Peter saying, "Wait, Jesus, what's your 5-year plan?" Or James asking, "Do you offer health benefits?" No, Jesus had none of that. But what he did have was something far more compelling, a divine call wrapped in authority, truth, and purpose. Today's gospel text is short, direct, and action-packed. Mark wastes no time. Jesus Christ shows up on the scene after John the Baptist is arrested, proclaiming a message that is both urgent and hopeful. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. This is not just an announcement, it is a divine summons. And then in rapid succession, Jesus calls four fishermen, Simon and Andrew, James and John, into the wild unknown. To appreciate the weight of Jesus' proclamation, we must hear it through first century ears. In the Roman Empire, the word gospel, Greek evangelion, was used for imperial announcements, often celebrating a new emperor or a military victory. When Jesus Christ uses this term, it is politically subversive. He is declaring that the true good news is not about Caesar, but about God's kingdom arriving through him. At this point, the Jewish people are weary. They are under Roman rule, taxed heavily, and spiritually burdened by a legalistic religious system. Into this broken world comes Jesus, proclaiming not a revolution by sword, but a kingdom by repentance and faith. And his message echoes John the Baptist's, but carries a new authority, because Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of what the prophets promised. Then there is the geography. Galilee, Jesus' homeland, was the northern back country, far from the religious power center of Jerusalem. Galileans were seen as unsophisticated, even suspect. So Jesus' choice of disciples from this region was yet another challenge to the status quo. He did not go to the temple to find followers. He went to the lake. And I think that is beautiful. Simon, Andrew, James, and John were fishermen, not rabbis, not scholars, not influencers. We don't know their IQ, their bank accounts, or their spiritual resumes, yet Jesus Christ called them. He saw beyond their present status and invited them into a future of divine purpose. Now, notice what is missing in this passage. There is no job description, no map, no training manual, just a call, follow me. And an astonishing response. They left their nets, their boats, even their fathers to follow Jesus into the unknown. I think, dear friends, this should give us both courage and pause. God does not wait for us to be perfect. He does not require theological degrees or polished resumes. He calls ordinary people, people like you and me, to participate in his extraordinary mission. But what does this mean for us today? First, the call of Jesus Christ is still alive. Just as Jesus called disciples by the sea, he still calls people today. The call to follow Christ is not reserved for pastors or missionaries. It is for teachers, plumbers, parents, students, artists, accountants, etc., etc. So your net might be a spreadsheet, a lesson plan, a steering wheel, or a diaper. But whatever your context, Jesus says, follow me. The idea of vocation from the Latin vocatio, meaning calling, is far richer than we often realize. It reminds us that God's call is not reserved for a few select roles within the church. Every job, every role, every station in life that contributes to human flourishing is sacred. And it is sacred when it is done with integrity, love, and faithfulness to God. So whether you are preaching from a pulpit like I'm doing this morning, teaching in a classroom, repairing a car, managing a business, or sweeping a hallway, you are answering God's call when you offer your work as service to others and to Christ. And this conviction is part of what led me to write my new book, Beyond the Pulpit, Theology for Everyday Life, published just last month. In it, I explore the often overlooked truth that theology is not meant to stay within the walls of the church or the pages of academic texts. It is meant to live and breathe in offices, kitchens, hospitals, job sites, and classrooms. So God's presence is not confined to Sunday morning worship. It extends to Monday meetings, Wednesday family dinners, and Friday night shifts. The message is simple but revolutionary. Your life is your pulpit. You may never preach a sermon, but you preach Christ in the way you treat a customer, encourage a child, or forgive a wrong. In a fragmented world hungry for purpose, the doctrine of vocation reminds us that every faithful act of love, labor, and service is a holy response to God's call. So when Jesus Christ says, follow me, he may not be calling you to drop your nets and enter full-time ministry like I have done. He may be calling you to live out the gospel in the ordinary, because in Jesus, in God's kingdom, there is no such thing as ordinary work when it is done unto him. But let's be honest. Whatever shape God's call takes, it often leads us into the unknown. Whether it's the familiarity of a fishing boat or the routines of everyday life, answering God's call usually means stepping out of comfort and into uncertainty. Which brings me to the second truth we must hold on to. The call is into uncertainty, but not without purpose. None of the first disciples knew what lay ahead. Suffering, misunderstanding, danger, but also joy, transformation, and eternal purpose. Likewise, our future is uncertain, but we follow the one who holds all things together. This same truth echoes back to Gideon's calling in Judges chapter 6. There he is threshing wheat in a winepress, hiding in fear, when the angel of the Lord appears and calls him a mighty warrior. It seems laughable. Gideon feels unqualified, overwhelmed, and uncertain. But I am the least, he protests. And that sounds familiar. Yet God does not argue his resume. He says, I will be with you. The call is never about our strength, but God's presence. Whether it is a Galilean fisherman or a frightened man in a wine press, God's call transforms ordinary people into instruments of his kingdom. And the question for us today is, are we ready and willing to follow Jesus Christ when he calls? Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, when you called the first disciples, they did not hesitate. They left everything and followed you. Give us the courage, O Father, to take a bold step, to leave the world behind us, and to follow you in whatever way you have called us. Here we are, ready to say yes to your call. Amen. Our next hymn is 251, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering. Gracious God, you have called us ordinary people into your extraordinary kingdom work. We dedicate these gifts to you now, not only what we offer in the plate, but also the offering of our lives, our time, our talents, and our daily work. Use all we bring to build your kingdom, to serve your people, and to proclaim your good news beyond the pulpit and into everyday life. We ask through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Now let us continue to pray. Let us intercede. Loving God, we lift our eyes beyond ourselves to a world in need of your peace. We pray for your church here in Newport-on-Tay, across Scotland and around the world. May your people hear your voice and answer, "Here I am, Lord." Bring comfort and courage to those who live under the threat of war and violence, especially in Iran and in every land where conflict persists. Raise peacemakers, protect the innocent, and bring justice and mercy where it is needed most. We pray for healing, physical, emotional, and spiritual, for those who are unwell. Grant good health and daily strength to those recovering or undergoing treatment. And we ask your traveling mercies for all journeying far from home this week. Keep them safe and bring them back in peace. We give thanks for the lives of church members who have died and whose funerals we have held this past week. Comfort their families and keep all your faithful departed safe by your side until that great day when we meet again to part no more. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Our final hymn is "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done." It's hymn number 512.
Thank you.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.